Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro and try to make sense of, yeah, markets made sense. We fended off the attack. That's right. We pushed the speculators back. I know it's not huge, but we pushed them back from the wall. We try to make sense of markets that don't really make any sense. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. And I first want to apologize. I had best intention to get into the comments. I still haven't had a chance. With the exception, some of you have notified me that there's someone commenting that is you. Well, it's an imposter. I blocked them and I've reported them. So do keep in mind, if you get a comment about buying Bitcoin or something else, it's not me. You can just click on them and you'll see that they're with an imposter channel. So we've got quite a bit going on today. Banks are contracting credit some more, buying bonds. What a surprise, right? We've got PPI, CPI data, all kinds of good stuff. Let's just get right in. I want to go through the economic data first because there's some cool stuff to look at. And I want to go back to Wednesday and the crude oil data because there's a chart that I have or that I keep track of. And it's crude oil prices versus the current new orders in Texas. It's a diffusion index. So even though it goes down, what it means is it's just expanding at a slower rate. So a lot of people are really super bullish on crude. I think it's mostly against the dollar. Dollar starts to reverse. Crude is headed down. I mean, look, what do we see? 15 million inventory build and crude prices went up. I mean, you got to be really bullish on crude to bid prices up on a massive build as more states are headed into lockdowns and restrictions. And so what we see is crude oil rising, the diffusion index slowing here. And if that crosses kind of negative, that is bearish for oil. So if new orders in Texas head lower, keep an eye out on where that's going. Next on the list, I think we talked about the 10-year Treasury auction already. We got the 30-year one. I know many of you are looking forward to that piece, as am I. How about out of Japan? Oh, you might want to know something. There's no ads. Because somebody said, hey, you know, you can sign up for this thing. Thank you. I did. 2 years of no ads was what we have. All right. Producer pricing coming out of the factories in Japan at -2.2%, down from -2.1% the month before. What does that tell you? Japan is exporting deflation. You got it. How about we move into the UK data? Construction output. You notice there's some negative numbers here. They're improving. But remember, the economies are supposed to be fully recovered. I mean, that was what we're told was going to happen. So construction output still -7.5% year over year. That's not good. Industrial production, -5.5%. That's not good. Better than it was the month before. Manufacturing production, -7.1%. It's telling you from a year ago, things are still bad in Great Britain. Remember, this is still pre-pandemic. So it just goes to show how far off we are from where the world was a year ago. Let's skip down a little bit and see what interesting things we can find. Ah, unemployment claims and the consumer price index. Let's start with the consumer price index. It was 1.2% the prior month, now 1.2%, again, unchanged, excluding food and energy. Also, that was unchanged at 1.6%. Now, some of you say the enemy, the biggest enemy of the bond kingdom is the M2. Because here is the M2 over against the consumer price index, both on a year-over-year basis. The question is this real money? Well, that is the question. You know, our friends Jeff Snyder and Emil Kalinowski on their show, Eurodollar University, have pointed out that perhaps the M2 is not money. And how do we know? Well, because former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan says, well, maybe he wasn't sure. Well, they thought the M's were money, and maybe they aren't actually at all. But this is where we take a nod to the great Dr. Lacey Hunt of Hoisington Investment Management and the Money Multiplier, where we take the M2 divided by the monetary base. And this is an excellent, excellent indicator of not only the potential for inflation, and why do I say potential? Because it does not guarantee inflation, but when it falls, it is very disinflationary. So what this relationship is looking at is the M2, money supply, against the monetary base. Now remember, and this is really important, the Fed has zero control over the M2. I know everyone thinks that somehow the Fed can manipulate the M2. The Fed has no control over the M2. If they could, they would be able to create inflation with a snap of a finger. So what you're seeing here, if this is the monetary base, and well, maybe it'd be better if this is the M2 over here, this is a monetary base. The monetary base is growing faster than the M2. Now, they're both kind of moving up, but that is disinflationary. And this is where you find the CPI headed down. Now, look at this relationship. We can zoom in a bit. So we kind of already knew that the consumer price index in red on a year-over-year basis was likely to go nowhere or stay flat. And let me zoom it over because I'm not sure I had it all the way over. And what does this mean for treasury yields? So, you know, we can also overlay treasury yields on this chart. So let's do that because, you know, everybody thinks yields are going higher. And what do they cite? You know, it's the same thing. The M2, which, again, as Jeff Snyder's pointed out, may not actually be money. If Alan Greenspan didn't think it was money or wasn't sure at one point, well, what makes us sure that it's money? I mean, you know, one of the greatest, at least the maestro, right? I mean, great former Fed chairs, at least at his time. Now, let's overlay treasury yields here. Let's bring the chart back up and we'll zoom way in. And what do you see? The treasury yields are rising in a disinflationary environment, suggesting when they've done that in the past, and you can see, we'll zoom that in a little bit more, when yields have been rising as they did here in late 2019 against a falling money multiplier, what happened? Yields eventually realize, oh, we're going the wrong way and we need to go lower again, because, you know, what we're learning here is the M2 is not a good barometer of inflation. But the money multiplier is. And so a rising money multiplier means the M2 is rising faster than the monetary base, meaning, you know, money is being created faster than the Fed is doing QE, because that's how the Fed, you know, raises and lowers the monetary base. So it can be inflationary. It just depends on what people do with the money. Do they save it? Do they, you know, are they spending it on discretionary goods and services? But when the monetary base goes down, it is disinflationary. You know, this is what the Fed is worried about, and the CPI proves it. All right, let's go back to the calendar. We've got unemployment claims up to 853,000. This is terrible, terrible news. And if we look at the data here, we've got up 137,000 from last week. And pandemic assistance, we see increased, you know, 139,000 claims. I suspect this number will go up. Now, what I found interesting is continued claims. And since I'm not the expert on how long people can stay on the pandemic on assistance, you see 350,000 people fall off of that. Now, was that because they went back to work or because their benefits were exhausted? I don't know. I don't know what the term limit is. I do know that on December 26, barring Congress doing something, all of these people are going off this. So, of course, there's the expectation that Congress will do something. And as of this week, they bought themselves another week. Now, how about the 30-year bond auction? Many of you celebrated this on Twitter with me. And let's take a look at what's going on here. I thought this was going to be a strong auction. It certainly was. Part of the reason that helped is the amount, the $24 billion, was lower than the prior months. I think it was around $27 billion. And what did we see? We saw indirect or foreign bidders, which is mostly foreign central banks and foreign governments, come in at a slightly higher amount than last month, means they took a pretty big chunk of this. And we also saw direct or domestic bidders take a slightly higher chunk, leaving dealers with just under $4.2 billion. Now, keep in mind, you know, people keep asking me, how can you be so bullish on treasury bonds and bearish on treasury yields when, you know, historically we can throw all these charts up about how, look, you know, yields go up when Fed does QE. Look, there's more to the charts than meets the eye. You kind of have to look and try to understand why things happen the way they do. But here's one really important fact. Now, the Fed renewed its QE schedule today, right? So let's go over here and take a look at this. And what we see is no change. In fact, there are 1, 2, 3 30-year treasury, I know it says 2030, but it's only 30s, at $1.75 billion, meaning there will be, in a month, they do two of these schedules a month, $10.5 billion of 30-year U.S. Treasuries purchased. Now, if you go back to the auction, you say, okay, well, we know for a fact the dealers got $4.2 billion of new issuance. That means the other amount, right, which is what, $6.3 billion? They have to source that from the market. So the dealers have to go out and pull that supply out of the market to feed the Fed. Now, if someone can explain to me how it is possible that interest rates can go up when supply of something is going down, right? And demand for that is strong, I'd love to know. Otherwise, you got it. QE remains deflationary. Now, also keep this in mind based on the auction data. You know, people are worried about what if there's a Democratic sweep coming out of Georgia? Couldn't that be really inflationary? The auction data tells you the dealers and foreign investors are not worried about that. If they were, we would see it in the data, because what else did we see here? Some of you are like, aren't you going to show that? Yeah, look at the low bid, 0.08%. You're seeing what dealers want. Remember, we look back at those charts that Jeff and Emil showed on their show, showing how low yield is a predictor of the direction prices are going. You know, if there was a fear of inflation, you would see it in this 30-year auction, and you don't see it. In fact, maybe something that's to come. There are rumors, little rumors out there, the Fed may move their purchases out the curve. Now, what does that mean? Currently, the Fed's balance sheet matures around about 4.5 years. So about every 4.5 years, the whole balance sheet will mature. That's just the average, right? Between the short-term bills and the long-term bonds. So there's some rumors, and Fed Chair Powell has mentioned this, that they have the potential to shift that purchase out a little longer. Now, if they do that, or maybe some of these foreign central banks already know that may be coming, what does that mean for bond purchases? Well, next week, we're going to find out if the Fed does that, but that could mean the Fed could increase their purchases of 10 and 20 year, or 10 and 30 year, and well, maybe 20. What would that be? Super bullish or bearish on yields. Well, bullish for bond prices. You know, these are the details I think people really miss. All right, let's go back into the data and see what else we've got that's interesting in here. Producer price index on a year-over-year basis was up slightly to 0.8% from 0.5. So factories in the U.S. are putting out a little bit more inflation. Now, the belief is that these higher producer prices will get turned into higher consumer prices. We'll see how that goes. The money multiplier is telling us that, not so fast. Michigan preliminary, University of Michigan preliminary consumer confidence shows that people are more optimistic in early December. I'm somewhat surprised by that. But inflation expectations dropped from 2.8 to 2.3, and that helped fuel today's bond rally a bit. All right, let's move on to the assets and liabilities of all commercial banks, the H.8 data, probably the most interesting thing on Friday that I look for. Bank credit up $17 billion. Now, normally you'd say this is great until you realize the securities in bank credit, aka bonds, are up $27.6 billion. With mortgage-backed securities up $25.5 billion, U.S. Treasury securities down $3 billion, and the rest coming from non these are more like agency. These are not U.S. treasuries or mortgage-backed guaranteed by the government. But here's the problem. Loans and leases, all commercial banks down $10.4 billion. Commercial and industrial down $4.4 billion. Residential real estate, despite all the hot going on in the real estate, right? Everybody's bullish, bullish, bullish. Credit in the real estate market down $9.3 billion. Commercial real estate unchanged. How about consumer loans? What's going on with consumer? Now all of a sudden down about $1.5 billion. And again, this is not a sign of an economic recovery. There's a reason, right? We look at this data is to find out, is there an economic recovery? And the answer is not there. And it needs to be there. Let's move on to the M2 money supply. The growth rate is actually on a 12-month basis down. That's pretty rare, 24.3%. Six-month rate of change slowed to 5.12. Three-month rate of change down to 2.32, meaning, my friends, it actually did drop a little bit. The M2 fell. I know, it's very unusual. What's notable to me is the big drop was in institutional money funds as investors continue to, you know, get out of cash and buy back into the equity market at all-time highs. You know, what they're thinking is we're past the worst. See, they think we're here. This is it. We got to get in. Well, playing chase at the top could be a dangerous game. and not one for the bond kingdom. Real estate loan growth down to 1.16% from a year ago. You want to know what causes a big crash in prices? Contracting credit. At some point, this will find its way into housing prices. Six-month rate of change is at minus 0.47% and falling. Three-month rate of change is at minus 0.74% and falling. You want to know why higher interest rates aren't going to work? Because credit is contracting. There's not enough demand here at current yields, and this year-over-year rate of change is soon to go negative. How about commercial industrial loans? Still hanging high at 11.61% from a year ago. Three-month rate of change is down to minus 11.5%. Three-month rate of change is minus 6. Both are back trending down. Not a good sign. Again, this is credit contraction. People are like, what do you mean? It's year-over-year rate. Don't worry. The 3 and 6 month rate will drag the year-over-year rate down, just as we've seen it with residential real estate. You know, contracting loan growth is not what you want to see in a debt-based economy, because you need an expansion of debt to create new currency. So when credit contracts, it destroys currency. Not good. Loans and leases at all bank credit. Growth rates down to 3.65% from a year ago. Now you can see this thing is just starting to nosedive even more. 6 month rate of change is minus 3.5%. 3 month rate of change is at minus 1.8. This is not a good sign, as this drags all loans and leases down. Even credit card growth rate is back down to minus 10.8%. I mean, you're seeing nothing, no indication of consumers or anything working at this point to bring credit back. All right, what do we have over here? Aha, yes, record speculation. Now, my understanding, even though this chart is a little old, and I think a week old, that the speculation in the stock market has now exceeded the dot-com bubble peak, making this the most speculative market potentially in history. I don't know about 1929, but at least in modern history, most speculative market, with everybody taking big speculative bets that equities go higher. Those who remember when this blew up after the dot-com bubble, NASDAQ was down 80%. And if you look at the equity put call ratio, you know, when it's in this major bubble zone, now this is a week old, because I've been meaning to show you this chart, it's telling you that stocks are topped out, and yet what do we see in the institutional money fund? Buy, 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 buy. People are just throwing money at the top. They believe this thing is going to keep going higher, but what you have is a massive speculative bubble that is looking to, at some point, completely come apart at the seams. Let's take a look at a couple charts really quick. And we've got, of course, got to look at the bond chart, TLT. Well, let's go look at 30-year yields first. You know, still can't break 1.7. Now it's flirting with its 50-day moving average. You know, the bearish, if you're bearish on treasury yields, you want to see this break. If you're bullish on it, you know, every time it touches the 50-day, remember, rallies begin with a cross and a reconfirmation. You got confirmation here all over the place. So those who want to see higher yields really now need to get back in the game and start selling again. And we'll look at the speculative positioning on Monday. So it's pretty, we'll see what's going on with that. The bears here who are bearish on yields want to see this thing break through the 50-day. And during today's trading, it did. On TLT, you see three up days in a row. It did at one point get over its 50 days. Sellers are going to be strong, you know, in here. They don't have a lot of ammunition left. You remember, we're pushing back from the walls, and they are literally exhausting themselves, selling, 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 and even more selling. I think everybody could possibly be short this is short, and that's where major reversals happen. You also see that sentiment is at a very low level of 22, looking to start to perk back up. We'll also take a look at the dollar, and looks like maybe he's finding a bottom here. We'll see. It's not as nice of a bottom as I thought this was going to turn out to be. Broke lower, but at least a dollar starting to firm up here. Maybe give that a go. How about emerging markets sitting right near one of their all-time highs? I mean, look, you go back and see, emerging markets have almost never been this high. 1, 2, 3 times in history on the EEM. Now, for those of you who are fans of the Sunday chart show, I made some improvements to the momentum algorithm. I know it needed it. It's much, much better now. So, momentum should lead price. So tune in on Sunday. We'll have that. We'll be back on Monday as we normally are and see what's going on with that. Be sure to like. I appreciate all of you being fans. And I, again, apologize for not having time to get into the comments. But, things around the office a little busier than I actually thought, which is always a good thing. But, again, I apologize for not taking the time, because all of you are important to me. Your voice matters on this show, and I do listen, and I look forward to hearing, seeing you on Sunday, and then, of course, we'll be back on Monday. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. It is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell your security, financial instrument, or participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Finance, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.